Hello, and welcome to A Therapist and a Theologian.
I am Marty Smith. I am the occupational therapist.
And I'm Jamie Tanner, theologian and farmer. And together, we are the therapist and theologian. And today,
we
are talking about this wonderful research we have been doing through the nonprofit Simple Sparrow. And it is blood pressure research. And we got this idea because a very smart person came out to tour the farm several months ago, and she was holding a bunny. And I've had several people mention this to me, that when they hold one of the animals, one of the therapy rabbits specifically, that they just feel so calm. Absolutely. And that they could just go to sleep holding this animal.
Well, and you and I had talked about that. And when I see clients in my home, I had some baby bunnies from the Simple Sparrow.
Yes.
Right. And I could see these children come in very anxious and very dysregulated. And when they would hold these baby bunnies, they would just calm instantly.
Yes, right.
And myself, we had some dysregulation in my own family in 2017. And there were times when I would call Jamie and just be, I just need to hold a bunny. Like, oh man.
I say, come over. Come on over.
Right.
Come on over.
And so just holding a bunny. And you hear studies, or not even studies, but anecdotal evidence of, and studies now, I guess, where people say they pet a dog and that helps to calm, you know, them down as well.
Yes. So when this very smart person came out and she said, you really need to get some research done to prove and show the public that there is quantifiable evidence.
That's a big word.
That thank you. That there is quantifiable evidence that working with animals is actually really good for your health. So I have a background in nursing. I was a nurse in the Army. And I'm very comfortable taking blood pressure.
You like to chart things.
I like to chart things. Love to chart things. And we have a mutual friend who is a physician. Mm-hmm. And we kind of started piecing together the plan for this research. And
because we were originally going to use heart rate. Because I was looking into, from my standpoint, I look at heart rate of kids a lot, and the higher the heart rate, the more active the child tends to be. And so I was thinking, oh, if we could lower their heart rates through animals, then that would, in my mind, I thought, prove that, oh, a lower heart rate meant lower, you know, activity. And then my smarter than me physician friend was like, hey, you should probably do blood pressure.
And you know, the heart rate too, because
we measured all that. In the future.
Well, and we did, you know, we've collected that data on heart rate and blood pressure. When people come out to the farm and they hold the animals or they pet a goat or whatever, I do just have them check their heart rate on their artery up on their neck. And it gives kind of a little idea, but just like our physician friend said, the blood pressure really is a more solid indicator. Marty, you had mentioned some of those tests and studies done with therapy dogs. And one in particular that has been published is inviting people in that own dogs, and they have a petting session. And they took the blood sample of both the dog and the human before the petting session, during and after, and what they found,
the cortisol levels, which is your stress hormone.
Yes. The stress hormone went down.
Exactly.
And then the oxytocin went up.
Exactly.
And if you can talk a little bit about the oxytocin and what it does to your brain, and then also serotonin and cortisol, because those are the three kind of big hormones that are going to play a part with the blood pressure.
So the oxytocin is what they call the love hormone. And that is the hormone that is in charge of connection. And when you make eye contact with an infant, the oxytocin comes up. And fascinating, when the mother first starts breastfeeding, the colostrum has actually increased amounts of oxytocin in there, so that it is a bonding chemical. And an interesting fact, of, as I've been researching oxytocin and such, they're doing studies that actual intercourse will also release oxytocin, which makes especially women more prone to a connection. And so, you know, the theory that we can go and have multiple relationships with people, we are literally connecting to all of those people. And even if we say we're not, the biology is saying something very different.
And the theology also and says the something different, which is where it matters to me. Says
something different.
The Bible says.
Yes, the Bible
says. And what's interesting, going back to that oxytocin secretion during breastfeeding or the pleasurable activities, not just sexual.
Right.
But it also, I think God designed us that way so we don't murder our children.
Oh, yeah. Because as we talked in the trauma tips videos, right, that's very dysregulating when we have these children that don't let us sleep and they don't eat what we give them and they scream at us often.
Yeah.
It's very nerve-wracking and we could become very frustrated. So this is the hormone that literally connects us to other human beings or other living beings, because as you said, we can produce oxytocin just by, you know, stroking the animal.
Yeah.
It's a lot with touch and with eye contact and proprioception as well. Mm-hmm. But it is definitely when we have a secretion of that oxytocin, when that level goes up, we feel good.
We want to be nice. We want to be kind.
We want to be kind.
Yeah.
And we feel connected to the person that's in that room.
So
shared experiences.
Shared experience. You know, so then talk briefly about then serotonin and how cortisol like affects the secretion of serotonin and oxytocin.
Right. So serotonin is our other feel-good hormone. And it is our calm. We're at that calm alert state. And it's what we can stimulate serotonin just through simple massage and just someone pushing heavily on you or wearing those weighted blankets. Different foods even can help.
Coffee.
Because the caffeine.
That is why you will always see me with a cup of coffee.
You're just trying to get your feel-good hormone on.
I'm getting my serotonin.
So you have your serotonin.
Maybe some endorphins
as well. That's right. Your serotonin is your feel-good hormone. Your oxytocin is your connect and love hormone. And then the cortisol is the fight or flight. This is the I need to keep myself safe. And so the cortisol is your alert with the intent of protection. And so you'll find children who have dysregulation and come from traumatic backgrounds, their resting cortisol level is often higher and it affects your digestion and it affects, you know, your sleep.
And there's tons and tons of research out there that shows that cortisol is directly linked to all these diseases, heart disease in adults, high blood pressure.
Yes.
Which now brings us back to the blood pressure study.
Yes.
So it still is in very much the fledgling stage of study, but we are very excited about our results so far because the sample group that we have tested on, what we have found is that over 65% of those participants during the rabbit holding session had decreased blood pressure.
Which is significant.
It's significant.
It's significant. We have a small sample size, so we can't publish it as significant yet. But
we're getting there. We have enough now to
come
build
to the farm.
Of.
Hold a bunny.
We'll let us take your blood pressure.
But we'll do it nice and gentle.
We'll do it
so
gently.
Your cortisol doesn't go off.
That's right. We'll do it really gentle. We'll smile at you. We'll put you at ease. So how we're doing this study is we have people sitting for 20 minutes so that we can get the
without coffee.
Yes, or sugar. So they're
unless
sitting.
Unless sugar the money.
Unless
I'm so
you're,
sorry.
You are derailing this. It's fine. This is great. So they're sitting for 20 minutes and we are getting the data for the resting blood pressure and heart rate. And after we get that baseline, I hand them the rabbit. Mm-hmm. I deliberately place the rabbit on the left side of the body, forcing that person to come midline and hold that bunny.
And cross midline and engage the right side of the brain, which is the more logical, less emotional side of the brain. So when we come over and we stimulate that left side, essentially we are nonverbally telling the body, hey, let's not be so anxious.
Yes.
And so when we come over to that left side, it's a very much let's relax, let's calm down.
Yes.
And it's that nonverbal biological signal.
Yes. And so all of that just by handing a person a 7-pound soft, fluffy, velveteen rabbit. Yes. That's on the warm. Left side, that's warm, yes, and soft and calm.
And breathing in a rhythmic fashion. It has a heartbeat and a nice rhythmic fashion.
I just feel relaxed already. Just I'm not holding a bunny, it. But just talking about that feeling. So they hold the rabbit for just a few minutes, and we take the blood pressure again, and I take the rabbit away. Mm-hmm. And what we found is that after collecting that resting blood pressure, during the rabbit holding session, blood pressure goes down even more.
Fancy.
And then when I take the rabbit away, it goes back up. So we have ruled out the possibility of just having a resting heart rate getting lower the longer they sit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so exciting. And the best, coolest thing is we did this experiment.
Well, and I want to go back and highlight, when we say that it went back up, it didn't go back up to the same level.
Correct.
Stayed. Now maybe the significance in that drop is a little bit less.
Yeah, it stayed lower,
but it did come up a little bit. Yes. So you will have, and this maybe warrants for further study, but maybe the longer we hold the rabbit, the longer it will stay down. Like, these are things that we can look into later.
Sure.
But it doesn't mean that as soon as you're done holding the rabbit, the therapeutic effect has ended.
Yes,
It does say that it is carrying over.
That it would suggest there's some residue of that serotonin, that oxytocin, still in the body, still bringing that cortisol level down, still enabling your body to have a consistent lower heart or blood pressure.
Right. But talk about the most exciting part.
This is my favorite.
That's your favorite.
So we tested people that have diagnosed hypertension by their physician, not by us.
Right.
And so
documented.
So their blood pressure coming into this was like over 150, 160s.
Mm-hmm.
And we documented the hypertension, handed them the rabbit, and during the rabbit holding session, 3 out of 4 of these people went down to either pre-hypertension readings or normal blood pressure.
How exciting.
It was amazing.
So exciting.
And then
saving lives through rabbits.
Saving lives. And then, let's not go there yet. We need to do more study. Let's just ignore that claim. But the implications are so exciting, because it obviously was like a direct correlation. The only thing that we changed was giving them this rabbit, this calming
non-judgmental.
They didn't have to perform.
Yeah.
But it was giving them the opportunity to be mindful, to practice regulation, to pet this warm, soft thing on the left side. So it was so exciting. And I'm going to let Marty maybe explain more of the details about why did we get that effect and
with the blood pressure. Why does the rabbit lower blood pressure? Well, and I think we've hit on a lot of those. It's that serotonin, you know, being increased by the touching of the softness, because that's one of the ways that we can increase serotonin, which is why people might fidget with things in their pocket, or they rub their soft clothes, or, you know, rub a rabbit's foot when we were younger, or a worry stone and things like that. Or even that, just the pressure of having the rabbit on them and all those calming types of activities coming to midline, the rhythm, the repetition, all these things are sending chemical signals to the brain that say, we are not afraid. We are nice and calm. And the rabbit is nice and calm as well. The rabbits that we use in particular, they're therapy rabbits.
Yeah.
Well, we've dubbed them therapy rabbits. That's not really a thing. But
they've been handled enough.
They have. Yes. And so when you hold another living thing that is calm, it tends to calm you down as well. And it's that co-regulation with a dog. You know, when you talk to children about interacting with dogs, you be nice and calm, and then the dog will be nice and calm as well. And we kind of mirror or we model what we're approached with. And that's why when you're frustrated, the baby will sometimes become frustrated.
Yeah.
Or if you walk in and you've had a bad day, then the dog will sense that. And some dogs are trained to actually help you co-regulate.
Yeah. You know. And I feel like we could talk a whole new episode on the mirror receptors.
The mirror neurons.
The mirror neurons. Mm-hmm. We won't have time for that today.
That's true.
But that does play a part in this blood pressure research and what we're finding. Right. So if you would like to recreate this experiment, please do.
send us
your results and your numbers.
Increase our sample size.
But it really is exciting when you really do feel that and think it. And like you said, a part of that is being mindful, is having that those mirror neurons, because animals have those as well. So there's a whole lot at play coming in here to give us those measured results.
Yeah, and it's exciting because, you know, especially rabbits, they don't think a lot to judge. And
I don't think they think a lot, period.
They think a lot. But it's just an easy thing to give somebody, and they can have that connecting response. And the other thing that's interesting with the rabbits is they are a fragile species. Yeah. And so when we give a child a rabbit, it is a care on their part, and they get to be that healthy dominance, which I know, again, we can get into in a whole nother podcast, but that is a part of it, is you feel like, oh, I need to get control of myself because I'm in charge of this rabbit. And that's one of the other reasons that we might, you know, lower our anxiety levels to help that to rabbit help. Calm down.
So too. I already know the next two podcasts we're going to do is on co-regulation and those mirror neurons, and then also just mindfulness and care and what it means to look outward and be benevolently dominant. That was another really good word.
That's a fancy word. It's a good word.
A good word. Benevolently dominant. Genesis 1. Okay. Well, that is all the time we have for today. Thank you for listening in.
Thank you so much.
On A Therapist and a Theologian.
We'll see you next time.